ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విదిన్ నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్ ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashantinilayam. And welcome once again to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Today is September 24th, 2020. And it is really Bhagwan's immense mercy and grace that we are resuming our Thursday live programs, and it is happening at a time when Bhagwan has decided to bless all with his Divya Darshan just a couple of days from now on September 27th, 2020. The Sai Sannidhi will unfurl and welcome all the devotees to bask in the Divya Darshan of Bhagwan and the Sai Kulwant Hall. We cannot wait to see Prashanti vibrant with this love. We cannot wait to see Sai Kulwant Hall filled with that yearning to be with him. We look forward to that day with anticipation, with prayer, and we pray that soon this transforms into how Prashantinilayam was 6 months ago. Praying that this is the harbinger of a new beginning. In fact, when this news was conveyed, I had so many people who shared with me that this is a new beginning, and now whatever we are going through in the world will decline. Bhagwan has willed to bless us with his darshan. Now things will get better. That is just that news of being able to come to Prashantinilayam, being able to sit in Sai Kulwant Hall, being able to see Bhagwan, to be in his presence, has sparked so much joy, so much hope, so much light. And it really fills you with so much of hope. It fills you with so much of renewed vigor to surrender yourself to him and look forward to a world where we love, we share, we care, and we feel happy that we are there for each other and we are all there together for God. If you see, this is what has been the message of Bhagwan. In fact, other day, a very beautiful message that I read, which was the message of the Pope Francis, had this to say wherein he talks about, if you want to make the world a better place, you have to learn to feel for the other. If you look at the life stories of all the devotees who came to Swami way back in the 40s, in the 50s, this was the underlying message that Bhagwan was conveying. This is what he was demonstrating right from the time his descent happened. It became more pronounced after the Avatar Declaration Day happened, and it took on a new dimension when the Prashant Nilaya Mandir was inaugurated. In this series, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, we have been dwelling on these instances from Bhagwan's life in the early years of Prashant Nilayam welcoming devotees into her bosom. I've been sharing with you stories from the 1950s, 51, 52, 53. Today, let me take you to some beautiful happenings that happened 1 year before 1950, 1949, and then I will take you to 1952 also. And the reason I'm sharing this story is multifold. A few days from now, we will be in the celebratory mode of worshipping the Divine Mother, and the ultimate day of Dasara celebrations used to always be a grand affair in the early years, when Bhagwan would do Vibhuti Abhishekam. Streams of Vibhuti, cascades of that holy, sacred Ganga of white ash would bathe the Shirdi Sai idol, the image of the previous incarnation. And it was a direct confirmation from Bhagwan about the unity of the Sai Trinity. And every time the Vijayadashami is celebrated, it brings back to memory those olden, golden moments of divine affirmation, of divine clarification for whoever still had doubts in your mind. And today I will share with you stories which connect and reaffirm this facet, and how Bhagwan did it way back in 1949. So there was this king and queen, Raja Saheb Bhimsen Rao and Rani Lakshmibai. They were the royal couple of Chincholi, who were very devoted to Shirdi Sai. Chincholi is a town in the Kalburgi district of Karnataka, India. When the Raja was alive, the family used to visit Shirdi to have Shirdi Baba's darshan. Dr. Rajgopalachari of Nellore had introduced Arani Rajamma and M.S. Sitamma. Both of them were sisters of the Rani of Chincholi, to Shirdi Baba worship. And even as a young boy, Arani Rajamma's son Krishna Swami used to yearn to have Shirdi Baba's darshan, to visit Shirdi. And when the grown-up Krishna Swami visited Shirdi, he heard Abdullah Baba reveal that his family would be blessed by Shirdi Sai Baba's darshan within a year. Abdullah Baba, for those who are aware, was one of the very blessed souls who could communicate with Shirdi Sai even after Shirdi Sai's samadhi. And in 1947, Arani Rajamma came to know of Satya Sai from her friend Sakamma. Even Sakamma had Bhagwan's darshan not long before. And these sisters, Arani Rajamma and M.S. Sitamma, who were living in Bangalore near Sakama's residence, they had their first darshan of Bhagwan in Bangalore. Subsequently, they visited Puttaparthi along with Srimati Nagamani Purnaya, who was a sister of Sakama, and she was the wife of the chief commercial manager in railways. For those who have been following this series, in an earlier episode, probably on August 6th, Outside Inside, Deep Inside episode, I shared with you the story of how Srimati Nagamani Purnaya came to Bhagwan again before 1950s, and the beautiful ways Bhagwan pulled this devotee, who later on became a very, very powerful instrument in Bhagwan's mission in bringing so many people to his fold. So, both these sisters, Arani Rajamma and M.S. Sitamma, they had the darshan of Swami in the mandir at Puttaparthi, and Bhagwan had called them for an interview. And Rajamma told Swami that they had not come to get any of their desires fulfilled. And Swami very lovingly replied, Swami said, "It is my duty to talk about the difficulties and happiness of those coming to see me." And after narrating all the travels that they had undergone, Swami told them everything about their parents' family, about Sitamma, her estranged husband, her children. So it was a very, very revealing moment for the sisters. And as the interview concluded, Swami told them to bring their sister, Rani Lakshmibai, the Rani of Chincholi, along with their mother, Namagiri Amma, and the children for the Dasara festival. This was in 1949. So, on Swami's invitation, all of them, except for the Rani and her daughter, they came to Puttaparthi for Dasara to enjoy Bhagwan's leelas. They garlanded Swami, and Sitamma remembers how in those days Swami used to keep his head bent and his eyes down when speaking to women. He would speak to them very warmly, and Swami would say, "I have kept the kitchen free for you." And in those days, when they came to Puttaparthi, they brought everything with them. They had heard that lodgings were almost impossible to get, and there were only very few kitchens, and that people had to cook and eat and sleep together either in the big prayer hall or in open air. So when Bhagwan had kept a kitchen for them, that itself was such a welcoming gesture from Bhagwan for them. They were so delighted. They were content with the arrangement, and they never gave a second thought to any more comfort. For them, the presence of Bhagwan made up for any other inconvenience. And this visit to Puttaparthi had a great significance in their life. Sitamma would recall her inner feelings, how just that visit convinced them about Bhagwan's divinity, and slowly they developed understanding of Bhagwan's personality, his love, his powers. But besides all that, they just felt good to be with Swami, and so they longed to come. And in the many interviews that Bhagwan granted subsequently, Swami gave them many things, stamp-sized portraits of himself, scrolls of gold foil, yantras with mantras engraved on them to be worn as talismans. So these talismans are basically mystical diagrams with mantras, mystical sounds engraved on them. Swami gave them these talismans for their protection. So this is how the sisters became regular visitors to Puttaparthi. And if Swami was in Bangalore, they would always go and visit him. So Swami would ask Rajamma and Sitamma to bring the Rani for his darshan. And the Rani, having heard from the sisters about this young Satya Sai Baba and about him being a reincarnation of Sai Baba of Shirdi, she really found it difficult to believe. And she was also puzzled that this young Sai Baba was inviting her to visit Puttaparthi. In fact, Swami appeared in her dream and said, "Why don't you come and visit me? I am Sai Baba of Shirdi, born again and living in Puttaparthi." And the Rani described the dream to her sisters. And they said, yes, this is how he looks. She confirmed the identity of Bhagwan's presence, Bhagwan's appearance in her dream. So that is how the Rani had her first darshan along with her sisters and others in Basavaraj Ur's house in Bangalore. Later on, she also had Bhagwan's darshan in Sakama's house in Bangalore. And after a few days, her heart began to realize and accept Bhagwan as none other than Sai Baba of Shirdi, reborn. And in a few months, when the first week of January 1949 arrived, Bhagwan surprised everyone when he informed the two sisters that he would be leaving for Hyderabad very soon. And the sisters had no implication. They could not understand what Bhagwan was referring to. Even Sakama was unable to find the significance. And then their mother, Namagiri Amma, wrote a letter to the eldest daughter, the Chencholi Rani in Hyderabad, saying that Swami is coming to Hyderabad. And she replied saying that it would be a boon to host Swami, it would be a blessing to have Swami. And she also said it would be nice if Sakama and others come because they could help when Bhagwan arrived. And it was during this time that Swami asked Srimati Nagamani Purnaya also to come to Hyderabad. And Nagamani Purnaya writes in her book, The Divine Leelas of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, about how she was blessed to be with Bhagwan during that trip. In fact, when Bhagwan asked her if she would like to come to Hyderabad, she said, "Swami, with your blessing, I will of course come, Swami. It is a huge honor and privilege for me." And her only worry was her husband should give permission. And when that happened positively, she was excited. She and two other ladies, they were to come by train, and Bhagwan along with the Rani were supposed to travel by air. And the day they were supposed to leave, the day Mrs. Nagamani Purnaya was supposed to leave, some of Swami's devotees were to stage a play, and they insisted on Nagamani Purnaya attending it. The time of departure of the train was 9 p.m. So Mrs. Purnaya agreed to be present at the play for a little while. But as the play began, it was so interesting that she forgot to keep track of the time. All of a sudden, when she looked at her watch, She found that there were only a few minutes more to reach the railway station, and this was such a critical chance to be with Bhagwan. Swami is going to Hyderabad, and she could not imagine how she missed to see her watch as she was watching the play. And now in her excitement, when she saw that there's only few minutes left, you know, she was very perturbed. She even forgot the name of the railway station where she was supposed to go and buy the ticket. She was in a mess, trying to hurry up and somehow catch hold of the train, somehow get into the train. And it was during this times that, you know, she would think of Swami and she would hold on to the talisman that Bhagwan had given her. So she held on to that talisman tightly in her hand and she started praying to Swami to help her. And she asked the man at the ticket counter to issue a ticket to the place. And she was not able to even remember the place where she was supposed to go to. And the person at the counter was amused. She asked, where do you want to go? Do you want a ticket to Kashmir? Do you want a ticket to get to this place, that place? And when that person said, do you want a ticket to Hyderabad? She said, yes, Hyderabad. Yes, that's where I want to go. And she got her ticket and the train was about to start, the train to Hyderabad. She rushed to the platform, found the train had already started moving slowly. The porter threw all the luggage into the guard's van and helped her to get in to the train. The guard was a good and understanding man. And that is how she somehow was able to get into the compartment with her luggage. In fact, in the next station, she located her companions and took her luggage to their compartment and sat with them. And she just profusely started thanking Swami for not leaving her stranded at the railway station at Bangalore. What a terrible miss it would have been for her. Kept thanking Swami for guiding her at the last minute to reach the railway station and get on to the train and finally meet the other devotees who were her companions. And when they reached the Rani's house at Hyderabad, Swami had not yet arrived because Swami was coming the next morning at 6 o'clock, and they saw Bhagwan's aeroplane flying up in the sky over the Rani's house, and she was so relieved that she was part of this team, part of the group to be with Bhagwan in Hyderabad. One of these days, the same talisman that she was holding on to fell off. The talisman's rings fell off, and she gave the talisman to Swami to mend it. And Swami took it in his hand, and Swami asked Srimati Nagmani Purnaya Amma, do you want the gold rim, the gold frame of the talisman, or do you want the mantram which is there inside it? And without even batting her eyelid, Srimati Nagmani Purnaya said, Swami, I want only the mantram, Swami. That mantram from you, that is what is most important. I am not interested in the gold frame, Swami. Swami said, okay, then I will throw this talisman away. Whoever finds it first thing in the morning, they can have it. And so saying, Swami just took the talisman and Swami threw it out into the garden. And all of them could see that shining gold falling in the garden, and it was really sparkling because of the sunlight as Bhagwan threw. And so the next day, early in the morning, they all went into the garden to search for the talisman, because they had seen Bhagwan throw right in front of all of them. But how much ever they searched, they could not find it anywhere. Till it was time for breakfast, they kept searching. And finally, when it was time for food. Food was first brought for Bhagwan along with water in a tumbler. And Swami looked at the water and Swami said, "This water is not clean." And the hostess was naturally very perturbed. She took it back, she filtered it and she brought it back again because nothing was wrong in the water, everything was fine. And they offered it to Swami again and Swami looked at it and said, "No, no, it is still not clean. See, there is a fish in it." And everyone was wondering, what is Swami saying? How can there be a fish inside the tumbler? And all of them peeped into the water with curiosity. And that is when they saw that what was inside the water was not a fish, but this talisman that Swami had thrown into the garden the previous evening. Such are the leelas of the Lord that Srimati Nagamani Purnaya was fortunate to witness, and the Rani in her home in Hyderabad was blessed to see the talisman was swimming in water like a fish, round and round, till Swami took it out of the water. And the next morning, Swami took out that gold frame and gave a small yellow paper that was inside the talisman, on which was written a mantra. And after Nagamani Purnaya returned to Bangalore, she made a gold cover for it and she wore it around her neck again. And it was during this visit to the Rani's house at Hyderabad that Bhagwan told the Rani of Chincholi that how he had previously visited their palace at Chincholi. As I mentioned, Chincholi is a town in the state of Karnataka. It is in the Kalburgi district. And when Bhagwan said that he had previously visited their palace at Chincholi, the Rani did not understand, because she very well knew that this was Bhagwan's first visit. And how is Bhagwan saying that he has already visited their palace at Chincholi? And Bhagwan clarified, and Swami said, "I have been a visitor to the palace in my previous incarnation as Shirdi Baba. I left my kamandalu there. I left my hookah and my robe at Chincholi." Swami said, "I used your tonga also." So here was Bhagwan revealing that I came to your palace in my previous incarnation as Shirdi Sai. I have left my kamandalu there, the vessel that is used to drink water, to carry water. I left my hookah, the pipe, and I also left my robe in your palace. Not only that, I also used the horse cart, the tonga. And Bhagwan did not stop with that. Swami said, "The robe had been stitched with a needle used for stitching gunny bags. Every time I sat for a meal, the water was kept only in that kamandalu." And Swami told the Rani to go to the palace at Chincholi and search for the described items if she still had doubts. Swami gave complete description of whatever was there inside that house. Swami even talked about the speeches he had given there when he, as Sai Baba of Shirdi, had visited their palace and stayed for a few days. The Rani listened to everything, absolutely stunned. Bhagwan went further and in detail talked about the renovations that were carried out in the palace. And Bhagwan said how when he wanted to return to Shirdi, the royal couple sent him back in their own tonga. The Rani was completely ignorant of all these things that Bhagwan mentioned. Later, when she returned to the palace at Chincholi, she made a search in storerooms which were locked. She checked up on the repairs and renovations that were done. And that is when she found out that everything that Bhagwan had said was correct to the T. For instance, Swami had said that a certain Margosa tree had been uprooted during the renovations, and that is what she found out had actually happened. One day the Rani was having one of the storerooms cleaned and she came across a beautiful brass kamandalu, the vessel. The Rani cleaned it, polished it, and she put it on display in her drawing room. And next day she found that a cobra had circled around that kamandalu, and so she burnt some camphor and she did aarti in front of that snake, and that snake just slid away. And later on she took this kamandalu to Puttaparthi to show it to Swami and ask Swami about it. And in fact, no sooner had the Rani arrived in Puttaparthi, Swami sent word asking her to come and asking her to see him at once. And what did Swami say? Ask her to come with the drinking vessel. The all-knowing Swami, the divine orchestrator, when the vessel was brought to him, Swami pointed to the two Hindi letters engraved on the kamandalu, Sa and Ba. Bhagwan had seen them during his lifetime as Shirdi Sai Baba. And everyone was wondering why Swami was asking for this vessel. It was the time of Dasara festival, and the way the Purusha Saptaha Yajna was being performed, the officiating priests asked for a vessel of a particular shape and size as prescribed by the scriptures. And it is at this moment that Swami says, go and get the drinking vessel that the Rani has brought. Years later, the Rani of Chincholi found in one of the locked store yards a cart which Bhagwan had referred to, the cart which took him back to Shirdi. In fact, if I'm not wrong, it is this cart which is now there on display in the Chaitanya Jyoti Museum, the cart that was used by Shirdi Sai. So these were the moments in 1949 with the Rani of Chincholi while staying at Hyderabad in their home. Bhagwan was mostly indoor. The Rani's house was surrounded by roads where there were a lot of fighting going on between Muslims and Hindus. There were sounds of guns and pistols. There was a lot of looting happening. There was a lot of damage to life and property happening. But the Rani's house in which Bhagwan was staying was completely unaffected, completely untouched by all this mayhem. Everyone was safe under Bhagwan's care. Every day, darshan was going on, bhajans were happening, interviews were happening. One day Bhagwan wanted to go out for a while, and so the Rani arranged to take him to Gandipet, a picnic site. On the way, in the car, Bhagwan materialized an apple and then Swami cut it into four pieces. He gave a piece each to all the four occupants of the car. He also gave a piece of sugar candy that he materialized. The Rani's house was the place where many people from Hyderabad were destined to have their first darshan of Bhagwan. Among these visitors were some aristocrats, Shri Burgula Ramkrishna Rao, who later on became the governor of Kerala and also the governor of Uttar Pradesh and played host for Bhagwan's visits to Badrinath and so many places, also had his first darshan in the palace, in the Rani's house in Hyderabad. on the day Bhagwan was to leave for Madras, Bhagwan gave a talk on the Bhagavad Gita at around 4 in the afternoon. During the talk, Swami developed a swelling on one side of his throat and he began to cough. And so the Rani was very worried. She thought maybe there was something wrong in the lunch that was served. Maybe it was spicy. Maybe that was not the right dish to serve Bhagwan. And the swelling remained until the evening. And the swelling happened when Bhagwan started talking about Krishna and about Bhagavad Gita. Aarti happened and once again Bhagwan started to cough. And everyone was perturbed and wondering what is happening to Bhagwan, what can they do to ease Bhagwan's discomfort. And suddenly there was a gurgling sound and everyone was stunned to see a sudden flash in Bhagwan's mouth. And in that lightning moment, Swami brought out from within himself a silver idol of Lord Krishna. It came out from his mouth. Beautiful silver of Lord Krishna. And Swami gave this silver Krishna to the Rani. And then after that, Swami mischievously laughed. And Swami said, "Do you still see the swelling? Is it completely gone?" It was one of those leelas to bless the Rani with something extraordinary. And the way he did it, it was like a scene of Lingodbhavam that Swami did to immensely grace the Rani with a blessing that she will cherish for a lifetime and more. So those were the moments that happened in 1949, and after that in the January of that year, and later on Swami moved to Madras in February of 1949, and Bhagwan is accompanied by the Rani, by Nagmani Purnaya and by Rajamma. All of them had the opportunity to escort Bhagwan. And later on, it was during this time that Bhagwan went for the inauguration of the Shirdi Sai Baba temple at Guindy, constructed by the Loknath Mudaliar family of Triplicane under Bhagwan's directions. So this is the story of how Bhagwan confirmed to the Rani of Chincholi way back in 1949 about the same divine principle, the same Sai, Shirdi Sai, Satya Sai. It is the same, and how the leelas are like the leelas of the times of Krishna, but the message is always the same. How he was that same divine principle, how he confirmed to her that whomever you have been praying to, I am the same one. So those are those initial days when Bhagwan brought these devotees who later on became beautiful instruments in his hands in the Satya Sai mission. He confirmed to them about the true Sai. Once their doubts disappeared about who is Shirdi Sai and who is Satya Sai, and they were confirmed in the divinity of Sai, that is when they became part of the Satya Sai mission, and Prashanti was inaugurated the next year. All of them contributed to the making of Prashanti Nilayam, to the unfurling of the mandir that happened on November 23rd, 1950, and the Satya Sai mission went on to a different momentum.
Shirdi Nivasa Sai Shankara.
So from the story of the Rani of Chincholi, let's move to the story of the Raja of Venkatagiri. All these royal families who had the opportunity of being blessed by Bhagavan to come to his proximity in those years, it was just a handful. The Raja of Venkatagiri, the Rani of Chincholi, the Rani of Sandur, the Raja of Sandur. I think it was just a couple of these royal families who perhaps had a treasure trove of merit that Bhagavan chose them to make them his instruments in those initial years. The Raja of Venkatagiri was educated in England and he was a very well-read person and a scholar. He had a palace at Venkatagiri in his old royal state and he also had a palace in the city of Chennai, then known as Madras. And he was a very well-built man and his manners and his speech were like that of an English gentleman because of his education in England. Yet, in all religious matters, he had the reputation of being a very orthodox Hindu and his wife would always maintain the parda. In those days, women would cover their faces. So when it came to religious matters, he was very, very particular about following them scrupulously. At the same time, he knew how to mingle in international social circles. Mr. Howard Moffat mentions in Sai Baba, Man of Miracles, how he met the Raja of Venkatagiri at several gatherings and how he called Mr. Moffat and his wife to his home in Chennai and told him of so many strange and wonderful experiences which Howard Moffat has documented in the book that has brought millions into Sai fold, into Bhagwan's presence, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. Some of the stories that the Raja of Venkatgiri shared with Mr. Moffat are stories which the Raja said are not just miracles. Raja said, I don't know how to tell you, but don't think they are just miracles. They are beyond it. The Raja's second son was one of a party of men driving from Chennai to Puttaparthi on one occasion. So he was there in Bhagwan, driving with Bhagwan. They were coming from Chennai to Puttaparthi. Not far from Chittur in Andhra Pradesh, they stopped to have a picnic by the roadside. And after all of them had eaten the main course, Swami asked what fruit they would like for a dessert. And very interestingly, all the people who were there in the car started giving their choice of fruit. Someone said mango, another said apple, another said orange. And Swami said, okay, all of you go to that wild tree. You will find all on that tree over there, Swami said. And full of excitement, they all went to that tree because they knew that anything was possible with Bhagwan. And sure enough, on one branch of that wild tree hung the fruits that each one had named, a mango, an apple, an orange, a pear. They plucked them and they said, my God, the flavor of these fruits are so rare. They are excellent. So these were the leelas that the Raja of Venkatgiri was narrating to Howard Moffat and his wife, all that happened in the early 50s. Once at Puttaparthi, before the hospital was established, the groundbreaking ceremony for the General Hospital was in 1954. Before the hospital came, a visitor was suffering from acute appendicitis. And Puttaparthi had no surgeons. Then there was no surgeon for many miles around Puttaparthi. So on that occasion, Swami just waved his hand, materialized a surgical knife. Swami went into that room where the patient was groaning. And Raja's son was among the dozen people who were there who saw Swami doing this. Swami just creating the knife and going into the room to perform the operation. And Swami came out of the room and showed the removed appendix and the incision in the patient's body, which had already healed. There is only a small scar. Swami had just used vibhuti as an anesthetic. And the surgical wounds also had just healed in a matter of minutes. So there were so many such instances that the Raja and the Raja's sons were witness to. One that impressed the Raja very much happened in 1950 in Venkatgiri. It was one of the earliest visits of Bhagwan to Venkatgiri. Swami was just 24 years old then. Between 20 to 30 people left the palace in a fleet of cars for a drive in the country, Venkatgiri. And Bhagwan had never been to that area before. Swami asked the Raja to stop at any patch of land that he chooses. Anywhere there is sand and there is a good place for all to sit. So after a few miles, when the Raja spotted a dry, sandy river bed, they stopped there. All of them alighted from the car and they sat around Bhagwan as Swami sat on the sands. And as Bhagwan was talking to them, suddenly Swami stopped and he rolled his sleeve up to his elbow and he thrust his arm deep into the sand before them. And then the Raja told Mr. Murfitt that we all heard a strange sawing sound, you know, as if something was being made, something was being done. So he asked Swami, "Swami, what is the sound?" And Swami enigmatically said, "Oh, I am manufacturing things in Kailas," Swami said. So Shiva was connecting to Kailash, his manufacturing factory in Kailash. And in a few seconds, Swami withdrew his arm from the sand and there was a great flash of blue light. And this blue light spread a circle of some 10 feet in radius. As Swami took his hand out of the sand, there was this flash of light which was glowing some 10 feet around. And then they saw that in Bhagwan's hand there was a pure white spatika, 8 inches in height, shining, sparkling image of Lord Rama. The Raja was very, very devoted to Rama. The Raja never missed his daily worship to Rama and Sita every day. And here, out of the sands, in a flash of blue, Swami creates Rama for the Raja of Venkatagiri. And it was, as Bhagwan said, a gift from Kailas. Swami gave it to the Rani of Venkatagiri and Swami told her to wrap it in silk and cover it until the following day. When it was unwrapped the next day, to everyone's astonishment, that white stone had become blue. And that little statue continued to be in the Raja's shrine room. It was still that color of blue. We always adore Rama as Ramaneela Meghashyama. Ramaneela Meghashyama Kodanda Rama Raghukuladhi Soma Paramdhama Sarvabhauma Neela Megha Shama Raghuram Ram Ram Raghuram Jayaram Ram Ram Jayaram. So here was Bhagwan giving Neela Megha Shama Rama to the Raja of Venkatagiri. And like this, the Raja had seen so many mysterious phenomena. Every time Bhagwan came to Venkatagiri or the Raja's family came to Puttaparthi, and all of this started in the early 50s. And that is why the Raja told Howard Moffat, "These are not just miracles. These are at an entirely different level. To use the word miracle for them is very, very inadequate." So Howard Moffat asked, "Okay, what word can I use then? What other word?" And Raja said, "I don't know what you can call them. Maybe you can call them divine miracles, but there is no word to explain. Because these are all the leelas of the divine. These are all the manifestations of the unmanifest principle who decided to take a human form. These are all the aura of divinity. But these were those life-changing moments for the early devotees who came to Bhagwan in those years. And it is through these devotees that Bhagwan built beautiful hearts in themselves and inspiring so many around them to cultivate the prashanti that he unfurled in that year, 1950. The Raja was a great source of inspiration. From 1950 to 1970, Swami went every year to Venkatgiri. And in those days, for every festival, the Raja would come with his team from Venkatgiri and do all the decorations, all the arrangements. There were no sevadals then. There was no facilities in Puttaparthi. It is the Raja who would be there in Parthi for every festival and convert it into a grand occasion. That is how the early years of Prashanti Nilayam unfolded. Bhagwan picked his instruments who were blessed to play that role in the divine drama. And as we listen to these stories, as we listen to their tales of transformation, as we listen to Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, it purifies you. It sublimates you. It adds that true beauty to your life. It shows you how you can convert your life into a life of beauty, purity, and sublimity. So, dear listeners, really grateful to Swami for allowing us to bask in this satsang. Today we have resumed the Thursday Live programs and we will now continue without a break. Maybe in 1 or 2 weeks we will have a revision of the timings of the various programs. We are working out a new schedule for Thursday Live, but the Thursday Live sessions will definitely continue. Only there would be slight change in some of the program durations and the time slots, but by Bhagwan's grace, we will continue to soak ourselves in these tales, in these moments of divine inspiration, and fill our life with His story, His glory, and His melody. Thank you so much. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and if you have any queries, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your feedback by sending your comments to our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Once again, thank you so much for being with me through this lovely journey into the glory of Sai. Sai Ram.